am a Bible believer. And I do believe when John said he saw that new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband, I believe that he saw that city.
Amen.
And we need to get stirred up about it. About going to heaven. Because one of these days, this old flesh is going to give way to age.
Amen.
Disease is going to invade our bodies. And by the way, sickness and disease is a result of sin.
Amen.
Not per se in that particular individual all the time, but because of the fall of Adam.
Amen.
Death passed upon all men, and when it did, disease and sickness came upon mankind. And one of these days, those sins, diseases will be taken away. And what a glorious day that is going to be. I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter and chapter number 1 this morning, please. 1 Peter and chapter number 1, if you're able to stand. If you're not, that's fine. But if you are, when you find your place there, let's stand together. And we'll read a couple of verses out of this text and try to bring the message the Lord's laid on my heart for today. Please don't think evil of me about my glasses. They're reading glasses Miss Hall got me. And I got to wear them this way because if I wear them up on my eyes, I can't see you. And so I'm like Brother Jerome. I got to wear them down here. I've got glasses being fixed and I don't know if they're going to work or not. They're trifocals, and I don't know how I'm going to handle them, okay? 1 Peter chapter number 1, I want to begin reading in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Now may the Lord bless that reading of His Word. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the songs that we've sung this morning, for our young people that sang, and Lord, for the special number, how that graced my heart and blessed my soul. I'm thankful for the privilege we have to preach the Word of God. Thank you for the good Sunday school hour. Lord, thank you for Thy people that are here today and even those that may be listening by the radio. May we today, Lord, be a blessing to those that are accompanying us in the house of God and those that are listening. I pray that You'll bless me and make me a blessing. I pray for power. I pray for unction. I pray, Lord, for divine help. We need Your help this morning, Lord. There are sinners here that are lost and without God, and they need to be born again. And only through the convicting power of the Spirit of God, the work of God upon their heart, will they ever realize they're lost and realize that You love them. Only through Jesus can they get to God. I pray that'll be accomplished today. Revive the hearts of Your people. I do pray, Lord, You'd prepare us spiritually, physically and emotionally for the upcoming Jubilee. Have Your divine will and way in every heart today. Bless the men of God and others as they come. Bless those men that preach and stand in this place and revive the church, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Last couple of weeks I've mentioned the fact that I think Vance Hebner said that when preachers preach, they should put the cookie on the bottom shelf so everybody in the church has the ability to get a hold of that cookie.
Amen.
And so this morning, one more time, I've put the cookie on the bottom shelf.
Amen.
Not necessarily for the purpose that you might get a hold of it, but being quite honest, the bottom shelf is all further Brother Hall could reach up. That's about the only shelf that I've been able to get to on our text this morning that I want to try to preach to you out of the Word of God. But I want to preach for a little while, if I can, on the Trinity in man's salvation. The work of the triune Godhead in the salvation of our Lord. The Bible said here that Peter is writing to those who are strangers. And they've been scattered throughout various places. They've been scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. And then he says that they are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And then through sanctification of the Spirit and the sprinkling and obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to preach, if God will help me this morning, on the Trinity at work in your salvation and in my salvation. And as I've already said, we see in this verse the threefold work of God the Godhead in man's redemption. Man has been elected. Don't be afraid of that word. Man has been elected by God the Father, and then he has been sanctified or set apart as a holy vessel by the work of the Spirit of God, and then he has been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at this verse, I saw something amazing in it. I hope you can get a hold of it. But the verse is written from God's viewpoint. As God looks down upon unregenerate man, God has the ability to see man as elect by God the Father. He has the ability to see them sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And he has the knowledge to see them cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when God wrote this verse of Scripture, he wrote it from God's viewpoint as he looks down upon man. But you and I don't have that privilege. We don't have that opportunity that God had. We're not God. And God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways and thoughts are much higher than what you and I are. And so he is viewing this text from God's viewpoint. But you and I, as little finite beings as we are, we cannot look at it as God's viewpoint, but we got to look at it from our own standpoint in the text. And it was at the cross where you and I first saw the light. Come on now and say amen to that. At the cross where I first saw the light. So it was at the cross where I was saved by the grace of God that I first saw the light of the glorious gospel of the Son of God. And after I was saved, God began to work in my life and yours too. And as God worked in your life and then worked in my life, we began to realize that we had been convicted by the Spirit of God. I won't say this to you. The morning that I was gloriously born again, I knew absolutely nothing about Holy Spirit conviction. I knew absolutely nothing about the work of God upon a sinner to bring that sinner to a saving knowledge of the Son of God. But I did know that morning that Jesus died for my sins. And if I would believe upon Him, I could be saved and have my sins washed away and be birthed into the family of God and become a child of God. But I'm quite honest with you, I knew nothing at all about the convicting power of the Spirit of God. And I can go on and say I knew nothing about the doctrine of Bible election. I had no earthly idea that I had been chosen by God unto salvation. But as I began to grow in grace and knowledge, it was then that I learned that God had sent His Holy Spirit into this world as the only agent of conviction. May I say again, He is still the only agent of conviction. I've heard men get up and tell hobgoblin stories and death stories and They could jerk, and stories that could jerk a tear out of a glass eye. But I'm telling you that man's stories will never convict a sinner that they're lost and on their way to hell. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost in the church house to bring real conviction upon lost sinners and let them know that they're going to hell without God and without hope. And the only way they can ever be saved is to turn from their sinful ways. And by the way, that is called repentance, ladies and gentlemen. And then believe on the Son of God as He gave His life upon the cross for their sin. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't know all that when I got saved, and neither did you. You knew you were a sinner and was lost. I mean, it don't take much knowledge for a drunk to know he's a sinner. Or a doper to know he's a sinner. Or an adulterer or an adulteress to know that they're sinners. Amen. I knew I was a sinner, but I didn't realize it was the Holy Ghost that came to me, amen, in deep conviction and proved to me that I was a sinner and then pointed me to the cross of the Lord Jesus where I could be saved. And I had no earthly idea that morning I'd been chosen. That I was in the elect. No idea of that. I'd never heard anybody preach on it. I'd never heard anybody preach on conviction. In fact, I'd never heard too many people preach on conversion that I could remember. I'm sure in that little Methodist church that I went to that I did hear some preaching on conversion. But I'm going to tell you, it had done passed over my head and was clean gone that Sunday morning when God convicted me and brought me into the family of God. Somebody say amen right there. But after I got saved and began to study the Bible, I realized that God had sent the Holy Ghost into this world to call out a bride for His Son. I want to say something right there. The world is not going to be changed. And God has never intended, ladies and gentlemen, to change this world. If you read that Bible from kiver to kiver, as the old black preacher said, you have to look a long way to find that this world is going to be changed until Christ sits on the throne of David in Jerusalem. And I'm going to tell you what He is doing. He sent His Son into the world to die, and He sent the Holy Ghost into the world to convict sinners, that He might call out a bride for Himself. Hey, and it's not up to you and I to change the world. It's up to you and I to be a witness of the resurrected Christ and tell sinners about the good grace of God and how they can escape hell like you and I have. That's exactly why we're here. Amen to God. Come on in the house. Let the heathen rage and the people of edge and the faith vain say, the Bible said God will have them in derision. God will laugh at them, but it's not our place to try to do anything about the world. Like that man was preaching up yonder Sunday night. And those men went there in Atlanta to preach. I can't find that in the Bible. I can't find one thing in the Bible where a reprobate is supposed to be preached to. Amen. And they are reprobates. And I'm not about to cast my pearl before swine. If I've got pearl to offer, or like Dr. Sadler, or like Charles Spurgeon says, if I've got bread to offer, I'm going to give it to somebody that's hungry, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah to God, not to some reprobate out here that's already signed his warrant to hell and is going to hell because he has given himself to a perverted lifestyle. Amen. He is already doomed. According to Romans chapter 1, he's going to hell. Why on earth do I want to preach to him? Come on in the house. Now, I knew nothing about the fact that the Spirit of God was here to convict. And that God had elected me. Or chosen me. Now, I don't want you to be afraid of that word elect. Now, and I said I put the cookie on the bottom shelf. Because that's all higher I could get it. And I have in no wise, I'm not going to deal with every verse on election. But I do believe what I've got to say this morning will shed some light on that doctrine for you. Because there are those that believe that the elect is just a chosen few that was known before the founder. And God does know who's going to be saved. But God did not predestinate any man to go to hell. It said elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And for me to think God did not know the end from the beginning, I'd be a fool. God did know, ladies and gentlemen. Let me share a few thoughts here with you I believe might help some of you out. The word elect is not necessarily an all-inclusive word meaning salvation. That floored some of you, didn't it? We read in the Bible where it says elect, we immediately think that that's all the saved. But I'm telling you, I'm going to prove to you that that word is used in the Bible in a number of places that is not an all-inclusive word, meaning the fact that people are saved. What about this one in 1 Peter 2:6? Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be condemned. May I say to you that that chief cornerstone, who is elect, ladies and gentlemen, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, he was chosen of God. He was God's elect. He was chosen of God. But you'll have to look far and wide to find some place in the Bible where Jesus ever had to be saved. Amen to God. I'm glad though that God chose him before the foundation of the world that he should come into this world and give his life a ransom for our sins. Bless his wonderful name. He was without sin, therefore he did not need to be saved. But the word elect is used there to show that Christ was a chosen vessel of God to be used in this world. Amen. Come on now, don't turn me off. Don't lay down in the seat. Don't lay down in the pew. Hallelujah. Get this now. 1 Timothy 5:21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels. The elect angels. Now, please notice again, the angels who left not their first estate did not need to be saved. And those that did leave their first estate could not be saved. In fact, Peter goes on in chapter 1 to talk about a great salvation we have and said the angels have desired to look into this matter. And so when God's talking about elect angels, he's not talking about angels that need to be saved. They were a created being of God. But there are some of those angels that have been chosen or elected to special responsibilities in this world. Gabriel and Michael, the archangels, mentioned in the Bible. And there's not many angels mentioned in the Bible, by the way. But there are some that were chosen. Some that were elect of God. Come on now, somebody help me out. Amen, help me out. Can I get a little closer to home? Isaiah 45:4. The Bible said, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect. I'm going to ask you something. Was all Israel saved? Israel was God's chosen people. We cannot deny that. They were the elect of God. We cannot deny that fact, can we not? But I want to remind you that in number 16, that God opened up the earth and swallowed up Korah and Korah's people alive into hell. They went down into the pit, alive into hell. And I want to remind you, they came out of Egypt. just like, oh yes, just like the others did. They crossed the Red Sea just like others did. Oh yes, they marched in the wilderness just like the others did. They saw the manna like the others did. They saw the water out of the rock. And they saw the bitter water turn to sweet water. But they died and went to hell, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible said Israel, mine elect. Come on in the house. What are you going to do about Numbers 21? When that crowd began to murmur and complain against Moses, and they murmured because they were discouraged because of the way. I'm telling you, you better watch your murmuring mouth. You better watch your complaining mouth. I'm telling you, I get around folks and they begin to complain about what's going on at the church. They begin to complain about the preacher and complain about what's going on. I'm telling you, I put them right in the same class with that crowd in Numbers 21. Now I'm going to tell you what God done. God set 48 serpents that day amongst the people, and only those that looked at the serpent of brass lived, ladies and gentlemen. Rest of that crowd died right there in the wilderness. But he still said, Israel, mine elect. But I'm telling you, all of them that come out of Egypt ain't going to be in heaven. Come on in the house. And everybody that sits on a Baptist church, you ain't going to be in heaven. You got to get born again. Amen. That's why he called these from Cappadocia and Asia. Called them elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, unto you, a grace be unto you, and peace, hallelujah, be multiplied. Thank God. Can you believe that God knows how to take His pencil and place peace and multiply peace in our heart and our lives for us? What a God we have. I hope I'm getting through to somebody else. I just want to say this morning, thank God. I don't know how I got in, but I'm glad, thank God, I'm in.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God, I believe I could just about run my head through a wall this morning. Now, very simple on the cookie shelf this morning. Listen carefully. That word elect simply means chosen. In every instance in the Bible, it simply means chosen. And I'm not covering all the bases. I have to admit some of them pretty hard for Brother Hall to preach on. I don't understand everything. But I want you to listen to somebody said, how are we elect? And who's in the elect? Listen very carefully. Who's chosen? May I say, number one, that we are chosen by the Father. That Bible said that we're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. But how do we know we're chosen? May I say the fact that Christ's coming into the world manifests the fact that we're chosen of God. Anybody in here that's been to heaven, I want you to raise up your hand. Amen. Anybody that went up into heaven and said, well, God, your son's going to have to go down to earth and die for me. I want you to raise your hand up this morning. Amen. I'm telling you, I didn't go looking for God. But the very fact that He sent His Son into this world tells me that He come looking for me, hallelujah to God. And He come looking for you, hallelujah to God. And He come looking for any sinner, hallelujah to God, that would turn and repent and call upon the name of the Lord. I say His coming, the fact that we're chosen is manifested, that is brought to light by Christ's coming. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What do you think He gave Him? He sent Him into the world and gave His Son upon the cross, ladies and gentlemen. His coming into the world, just His coming into the world manifests manifest the fact that sinners are chosen to be saved by God. Amen. For God, get this now. Here's the text. Here's the word. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might believe. Hallelujah to God. Amen to His wonderful name. I'm telling you just the fact, knowing that Christ, God sent Him as a little baby in a manger, ladies and gentlemen, ought to be enough to tell you that God has chosen you to be saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Chosen, manifested, brought to light. Them angels begin to sing. Look here, they were sung. Come on now. Come on now. Hey, those wise men that went there knew that He was a Messiah, their deliverer, before He ever went to Calvary. Hey, the fact that they were chosen was manifested to them while He lay in the manger. You get a hold of that one, buddy, it'll help you out. That one just rolled off the back burner. I'd say the fact you're sitting here this morning is enough to tell me you've been elected. Amen. I'd hate to be like some of that crowd in the wilderness, though, that God chose and brought out. Hey, by the way, He didn't bring them Egyptians out. He left them down in Egypt.
Right. Amen.
But He did bring out the people.
Yes, sir, brother.
You're not out in the world. Ain't nobody in here nurturing a hangover this morning, are they? Didn't nobody get drunk last night, did they? Didn't anybody go dancing last night, did they? Nobody go to the movie houses or see it? Didn't nobody go out and commit adultery last night, did they? Well, I wonder what you're doing here today. You just stop and think for a minute. Really, what am I doing here today? I'm going to tell you what you're doing here. Something real mysterious happened in you. Because before the foundation of the world, you were elected by God the Father. And you were sanctified, set apart by the Holy Ghost. And Christ came into the world, foreordained from the foundation of the world, to shed His precious blood that you might be saved and escape the damnation, the torments of hell. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad. Thank God. I'm in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We all ought to be shouting, God have mercy on us. There's a crowd out there that's nurturing a hangover. They fought all night long with their husbands and wives. They're like tomcats and dogs. And here we are in the house of God, enjoying the blessings of God. How'd you get here? Why are you here? There's only one reason. God. God brought you here so you could hear the gospel. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. And so it was now. Now stay right with me. The fact that we're chosen by God the Father was manifested by Christ's coming. Now do you understand what the word magnified means? It gets bigger. Amen. Something, this word, oh no. Without these glasses, I better magnify it a little. Oh, I can see it now. Amen. I can't read a lick right now. Amen. I'm in 1 Peter 1 and 2 and on down. I can't read a word. And if I shut my right left eye, about all I see is a real big blur. Amen. That Cadillac on my right eye's about got me blind. I can't see nothing there. But I put on these glasses Sister Hall bought me at Walmart. Oh, no, Dollar Tree. They're Dollar Tree glasses. Praise God, I can see real good. You know why? The word's magnified. He was manifest when He come into the world. The fact that God chose us was manifest when He come into the world. But I want to say it was magnified when Christ died on the cross. God just shed a little more light. He said, I've not only sent Him into the world, I'm sending Him to Calvary to give His life on Calvary, a ransom for your soul on Calvary. Thank God. I don't see how you can sit where you're sitting. I'm telling you, I'm about ready to run my head through the wall. Praise God, I remember when I was a drunk. Praise God that I'm in here this morning soaking up something from another fountain. Hallelujah to God. I'm drinking from a fountain that'll never run dry. Glory to God. Amen. Thank God. Bless His wonderful name, Brother Shelby. You'd still be over there on Drunk Row with a ponytail 4 foot long. But God somehow miraculously, because of two deaths, got you sitting on the church pew this morning. Ain't that right? God done that. You say, oh, Brother Hall, you know God done that. Brother Hall just said something to you. But I'm going to tell you, it takes more than words from a man to get sinners in the house of God, buddy. You better believe it does. Come on in the house. I'm going to tell you, when he come into the world, the angels begin to sing.
Amen.
But when he died on the cross, there was silence in heaven. And a dark cloud hang over the earth. That cloud separated between God the Father and God the Son. And he looked up through the thick darkness that separated him and the Father and cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. And I'm going to tell you, can I just imagine a little bit here? I want to imagine. I think I might take a lap. But I want to imagine a little bit right here when he looked up into that darkness that separated between him and the Father. I believe when he looked up and said, Father, forgive them for they know not what to do. I believe that in that dark cloud, a spot went, opened up. And the Father may have looked down and said, I will! For your sake, I will! What a God! What a Savior! For Jesus' sake, we're saved today! I'm going to tell you what, God didn't save you for your sake. God doesn't do one thing to you for your sake. It's all because of Jesus. It's for Jesus' sake that suffered and bled and died on the cross, ladies and gentlemen. Thank God I owe it all to Him. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. That's His wonderful name. Thank God I'm elect by the Father. Sanctified by the Spirit. Cleansed by the Son of God. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, what about that cross?
Amen.
He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep to hurt before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Notice, ladies and gentlemen, it was all voluntarily, by his own volition. He said in John 10:15, as the Father knoweth me, even so knoweth I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Manifest later down where? On the cross. Manifest in his coming, magnified at the cross. Verse 18 of that same chapter, he said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down that of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of the Father. Thank God, I'm glad he laid her down. And I'm glad 3 days later he got up out of the grave. Amen. That's right. We're seeing of Mary and Mary Magdalene at the tomb. Saw Peter. And at one time, he had seen him about 500 men at one time. And then he walked out on the Mount of Olives with 11 disciples. Amen. And gave him the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the Bible said a cloud received him out of their sight. Boy, but here's the blessed thing. While they stood there looking, a couple of men in white apparel said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? For the same Jesus as you've seen taken up shall so come again in like manner. I'm here to tell you, praise God, He's coming back. Thank God, He's coming back. On the wings of a dove, He's coming back. On white clouds, He's coming back. And 7 years after He comes in the clouds, He's coming on a white horse. And guess what? You and I that have been to Calvary, praise God, we're going to be on a horse right behind Him. Hallelujah to God. You won't even have to worry about saddle sores. Amen to God.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, the horse he gives you, Megan, won't bite you, kick you, bound you. Oh, no. That horse he gets you, it'll be as gentle as a lamb. Hallelujah. When we get back, that lamb's going to curl over to that line and lay down and say, how you doing, man? I've been waiting a long time for this.
Amen.
Just to say hi to my buddy, the lamb. Line.
Right.
And I would expect that all of the dignitaries of the world will send their top diplomats to Jerusalem to get a report on what kind of a man this is that's brought peace to the world. What's he like? Tell me something about him. All the newspapers and the reporters in the world will make their way to Jerusalem just to see this man that's got such great power that even the wind and the waves obey his voice. And men that studied war have now beat their swords into plowshares and they'll study war no more. When they return back to their dignitaries and so forth, return back to their country, to their president or premier or whatever he might be called. And he calls them in and says, well, what kind of a man is he? Tell me something about him. And they'll say, he's wonderful.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
You got anything else? Say, oh, yeah, he's the mighty God.
Amen.
Well, is that all you know about him? Oh, he's the everlasting Father.
Amen.
Well, why are we enjoying such peace throughout the world? Oh, didn't I tell you he's the Prince of Peace? Woo!
Amen.
Amen. Yes! That's my God! That's my Lord! That's my Savior! That's my Deliverer! Hallelujah to God! He's coming back, but He'll not come back to die on the cross! He's coming back to rule and reign in the affairs of men! Bless His wonderful name! Woo! And we're going to be kings and priests with God our Father! Praise God! I don't need no papa to pray for me! I've got a high priest in heaven! Hallelujah! And He's made me my own earthly priest! I'm about to get drunk on you. Drunker than Cooter Brown, buddy. Amen. Hallelujah to God. I'm about to get drunk on the Holy Ghost here today. Praise His name. Now listen carefully. I said it's our chosen by God or our election is manifest by His coming. It's magnified by the cross. But listen carefully now. I don't want to lose none of you here. If you don't, I'll lose you. It is personified by His call.
Amen.
You know what a personified is, don't you? Person. Personified. People. Individual people.
Amen.
Amen.
Drawing her down there a little bit now, ain't we?
Amen.
Listen to what He says. When Jesus heard it, said in Mark 2:17, He saith unto them, they that are whole need not have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I come to call the righteous, not sinners, to repentance. Or I came not to call the righteous, but sinners, to repentance. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. Now, don't leave me here. I said the call is personified. He did not come to call self-righteous hypocrites to repentance. God searches the hearts and God knows the right. And I'm telling you, there are some self-righteous hypocrites that are more holy than anybody in the whole world. I mean, they're holier than thou, buddy. They're better than everybody else. They know more than everybody else. They study the Bible more than everybody else. They're more studious than everybody else. They are class A, self-righteous, made righteous of their own will, hypocrites. And God didn't come to call them. He come to call sinners. Praise God, I want to say again, God come to call bad people. Sinners. Amen. Harlots and prostitutes and dopers and drunks, amen. God come to call them. Hallelujah to God, the lame, the crippled, the maimed, the halt. God come to call them.
Amen.
He can't have pity and mercy on a self-righteous hypocrite.
Amen.
That rich young ruler came to him. said, "Good master, what do I need to do to be saved?" He said, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one." That's saved God. He said, "But keep the commandments." He said, "I've kept them since my youth up." He said, "Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother." He said, "All these have I done my youth up." He said, "You got one more thing that you need to do. Take that pocket full of money you got and give it to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me." And Bob said, "Oh, he went away. Sorry, I can't do that." Now I'm telling you, they're self-righteous people. I don't care how many trips, friend, I don't care how many trips they make to the altar till they're willing to dump their self-righteousness on the altar and get up a humble-hearted, meek Christian, a sinner. They will never get saved by the grace of Almighty God. Amen to God. That's right. I've seen them come make two or three stabs at it. Never get in.
Amen.
Come on now. Come on to the house. And the reason they don't, because they still know more than everybody else in the church. In fact, they are so holy, they won't even fellowship with some people in the church.
Amen.
They're so righteous, they wouldn't have anything to do with some people in the church. They just, buddy, we've arrived. Praise God.
Amen.
We need to be around spiritual people. There's a whole lot of Holy Ghost hanging around in here this morning. I've been preaching for a little while, and I've got enough sense to know when God's hanging around in here. It may not be affecting you, but I'm telling you, God the Father that elected me and the Holy Ghost that sanctified me and Christ that died for it, oh, is working on me today.
Amen.
Amen. The last time you shouted, you ain't had your hand up in the air in a long time.
Amen.
I figured you'd come back from Scotland wired up, wilder than a guinea. When was the last time you let a little squeal? What about some of you men back there?
Amen.
I've seen Miss Sharon get her hand up in the air two or three times today. Four or five times.
Amen.
What's wrong with some of the rest of
us?
Now, personified. Listen carefully. Romans 8, 29, 30. For whom he did foreknow, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's an eternal security. Predestination deals with glorification and not salvation.
Right.
Predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. Let me find out where I'm at here. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called.
Amen.
Come on now. And whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
Amen.
I tell you, if you have been called today, you stand not only called, but justified in the eyes of God, and glorified also in the eyes of God. Amen. When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. Woo! He don't see me like he is, folks.
Yes.
Praise God. Get this. Brother Mike Moody called me. Come on in the house a minute. I never even thought about it. He said, "Would it be right for me to preach this?" Called me yesterday on the telephone. Said, "Would it be right for me to preach this?" I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" He said, "You know that parable of the pearl of great price?" I said, Sure do. He said, "Now, I don't want to get too deep involved in this, but," he said, "Do you believe that that merchant man was Jesus?" I said, "I sure do." He said, "Do you believe that pearl was God's people?" I said, "Sure do." He'd give all he had for it. That's right. That merchant man's not you and I finding Jesus. We didn't give nothing.
Right.
That merchant man is Jesus come looking for that pearl.
Amen.
But here's what Brother Moody said. He said, "Brother Hall, God asked you one question." He said, "Is a pearl, is that a finished product?" I said, "You might be on to something there." He said, "That tells me that Jesus, the merchant man, bought the finished product."
Amen.
If that ain't eternal life, I don't know what is.
Amen
to God. If that's not eternal salvation, I don't know what is. He didn't buy us as we was. He bought us as what we're glad to be. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
a pearl of great price, Lord, a finished product. Them that He justified, He also glorified. Off the finished product, folks. Somebody said, how do you know you're going to heaven? I know, buddy. I know, Brother George. Thank God I know. If I could sing that song, I know, I know. My name is written there. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Bless His wonderful name. I'm about to have a shout and spill and a run and fit. I know my name is there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I ain't even got time preaching, Mother Two Points. You know your name's there? Or what are you sitting on that pew for? Been a long time since I heard a little squeal out of you, sis. That's weak. That's better. I ain't never heard one out of you. Huh? Praise God. I'm going to hit these and we're going to be done. I smell food back in the back, I think. That's my nose. It's as bad as my eyes are. So we're not only chosen by the Father, elect by God the Father, but we're consecrated by the Spirit.
Amen.
He said through sanctification of the Spirit. Now, get a hold of this. The Spirit infuses grace into all faculties of the soul. He infuses grace into all faculties of the soul. Though grace be wrought in part, yet it is in every part.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? Listen carefully. When you receive the grace of God that saved you, do you think that's the only time you're ever going to need grace? We needed grace on that marathon.
Amen.
We need grace this morning. Our church has been through a little calamity, a little dilemma. We need grace. We need some favor from God. We don't deserve it, but we need some favor from God. So God infused grace in part, but He infused it in every part of your faculty, all of your being. I'm about to shout again. In understanding, He gave us light. In our conscience, He gave us tenderness. Our old conscience could be seared with a hot iron, but He gave us tenderness. In our will, what did He do about the will? You say, well, God overrides the will of man. No! When grace was infused, we consented to the will of God. Our will wasn't broken. We just consented our will to God. That's all, ladies and gentlemen. That's all. God never broke your will. You just consented to His.
Right. Amen.
And in the affections, get this now, harmony.
Amen.
No divisions. Harmony.
Amen.
What about that old song? Make me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Oh, it's good enough for me. Woo! It was good for Mama and Papa. It was good for Mama and Papa. It was good for Mama and Papa. And it's good enough for me. What about that? Ha, ha, ha.
Amen.
Gonna take me to heaven.
Amen.
Gonna take me to heaven.
Amen.
Gonna take me to heaven. And it's good enough for me. Listen carefully now.
Amen.
Trying to close. He said in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you. How? Chosen you to salvation. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit. Somebody said, well, that proves God predestinated some. Oh, no. The rest of that verse says, unto belief of the truth. Man's got to believe, ladies and gentlemen. And the Bible has stated in the book of Romans that all are in unbelief. that the Word of God may stand true.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you what God the Father will do and the Holy Ghost will do and Christ will do. It'll make you believe the truth. Praise God, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Some people wouldn't know the truth if they fell over the top of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo!
Heaven.
Glory to God.
Amen.
There's one man, and he might be listening. I love him. I love him, and we've made right. But he went and told the preacher, said he'd like to see me leave here. Said all we ever get up there is a book outline. Sound like an outline to you today, folks? Homeless sound like no outline. I've had to leave here for every reason in the world.
Amen.
You believe I've had some to leave because they think I'm too rough? Has today sounded any too rough to anybody in here? It had. These guys got a thing going every Friday, Saturday night prayer meeting. They say, what we got? Sawbriar or Sawbriar with sugar on it? Brother Matthias called me this morning. He said, well, said the general called me. Said, told me he was working on several sugar sticks. I said, that'll be the day, buddy. I've known him since 1978. And I ain't never heard a sugar stick out of the general yet, boy.
Amen.
You think I'm rough? Woo! Hallelujah. Sanctification is a work, listen, in us, not on us. It is a work, now listen carefully. It is a work in us by two agents. One is the worker who works this sanctification effectually. That is the Spirit.
Amen.
And the other agent, the efficacious agent, or the efficacious means by which the Spirit works this sanctification, is Jesus and His most precious blood.
Amen.
I couldn't illustrate it in a million years. But when the Holy Ghost sanctifies you, that word means consecrated holy. He is the one that sets you apart as holy. God chose you in their economy. The Spirit set you apart and Christ saved you.
Right.
From our economy, we don't know what's going on. Anybody and everybody, let whosoever will come and drink the water of life freely. They go to Calvary and look up. Jesus saves them. How does He save them? The Holy Ghost is working in their heart effectually, with an effectual call in their heart. And then the Holy Ghost somehow takes the blood. And folks, the blood, I want you to get a hold of this. The blood that cleansed you is not something we just think about. If I can just put it to you like this, when Jesus saved you, the Holy Ghost walked over to the fountain with you. You couldn't get there yourself, but He walked over there with you and dipped you in the fountain. It's a literal thing. It's not an imaginary thing. It's a literal thing. You have actually been bathed in the blood of Christ. Literally.
Amen.
Father, won't put another in. Jesus, here's you another one.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
You glad you're in?
Amen.
And then, well, I've let him lost them glasses. I'm going to try to lose my stupid head one fine moment. Let me say this. We're cleansed by the Son. He said, unto obedience of sprinkling of the blood, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. That requires suffering. Hebrews 5:8-9. Though He were a Son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. So we see here his obedience unto obedience and sprinkling the blood of Jesus Christ. His obedience and our obedience as well.
Amen.
There is no salvation without obedience, folks.
Amen.
The old saying, you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. The Holy Ghost can lead you to Christ. But he's not going to cram it down your throat.
Amen.
You're going to have to be willing.
Amen.
To take that drink. Better believe that's right.
Amen.
And then it purges our conscience. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, there it is again, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. And that word conscience there means to see perfectly or to understand wholly. In other words, when God, through the blood, purged your conscience, you remember that day when you got saved and you got up off that altar and you saw things quite differently? You saw a need to go to church. You saw a need to read your Bible. You saw a need to be faithful to the church, get involved in the ministries of the church, do things around the church. He purged your conscience from dead works. That is, he opened up your blinded eyes. He opened up my blinded eyes one day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, if you're not in, I want to tell you can get in this morning.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want to tell you something I've been accused of. I've been accused of commanding these lost kids in here that they had to get saved. I've been accused of that, commanding them. But I'm telling you, I've never commanded anybody. I've always said you get right with God when God's dealing with you. But it is my responsibility to press the claims of Christ upon you soundly and firmly and do my best to say something God can take and use to bring you to Jesus. And I intend to do that. I thoroughly intend to do that. Everybody that's in here saved ought to rejoice this morning. When we stand for prayer, you ought to just lift up your eyes for heaven and thank God that you're saved.
Amen.
And if you're not saved, go just get on this altar today and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. If you'll save me today, I'll yield myself to Thee wholly. I give myself to Thee. I guarantee you, He has never turned away one willing soul. Never. Never. Not one has He ever turned away. Now, I've tried to put the cookie on the bottom shelf. Because that's all higher I could put it. And I've prayed over that verse of Scripture for weeks. I said, Lord, I can't preach that. I don't know enough about election. But on Thursday, God said, that's what I want you to preach Sunday morning.
Amen.
And I've handled it the best way I know how.
Amen.
Let's stand together.